Welcome to another episode of the Mama Logs podcast. Today, I'm bringing you yet another episode of, well, me. Originally, it was supposed to be many voices coming together to discuss this Women's March that happened on January 21st. And because of my, hey, I'm going to do this. Let me run out to this march and do this last second thinking and yaddy, life happens. There's a little technical difficulty, so you don't get to hear any of the voices that I interviewed on this day, which breaks my heart a bit. But I still wanted to at least take this opportunity to share what I learned from all these women out there, because it was a big thing. It was 250,000 people in Chicago alone. I think 500,000 in D.C. and countless amounts of marches throughout the nation and the world. So I think just the movement itself was powerful, and obviously it was something that needed to happen. But I personally was struggling with how I was feeling about it. You know, I wasn't sure about wanting to go to it, if I wanted to be home, if I wanted to miss this, and like a lot of women of color, I was feeling a kind of way about it. I even side-eyed it a little bit. I'm like, huh, a woman's march. That's interesting. Because now everybody's life is affected. So now more people are paying attention. And by more, I mean, you know, more white females who are going to be affected by the choices our newly minted president is choosing to make against all of our bodies. And I guess I still hold that number of 54% of white women voted for him. Maybe I'm still holding that little bitter pill. So that was my struggle with wanting to show up or not. And supporting this, and just because many times over my whole life, you know, growing up in this country, I love being in America. I love being American, but unfortunately, being brown in this country doesn't always love me, and it hasn't always shown me the love. And it was hard. It was really hard because we're in a time now. I think the only silver lining of this moment is of this man being in office and his goons are people are talking, and not just talking, but people are actually doing. And that's the upside. So I at least want to share some of the sentiment that I heard and women shared with me out on these streets. And I ended up going just because I wanted to record. I know I'm doing this Mama Logs, and my whole mission for myself is just to give moms a voice and hear what their voices have to say. When they're not just talking about being moms, they are so many layers of us, as women and as mothers. So I wanted to go out there and just feel this out, you know. I wanted to see what it was all about and try to push aside how I was feeling in that moment. So it felt safe for me to go out and at least record and not necessarily march, just be a witness to what was happening. And this almost a passive participant, if you will. So what I did get was this lovely sound.
Yeah.
are you a mom?
Yes, I am.
I'm out here. Yeah, I couldn't assume.
Yeah.
I'm out here. I have a podcast called the Momologues Podcast. I want to interview moms.
Oh, right on.
Can I interview you?
Sure.
I'll walk with you.
Okay, yeah, sure.
And as you can hear, you hear waves of people. There were. I stepped off the train and middle of downtown State Street, and there's thousands of people from as far as my eyes could see on State Street. It was, you know, boisterous, and the energy was high, and yes, it was, people are out there with their kids, and, you know, husbands, and the wives, and, you know, grandmas, everybody's out, you know, and there was, it was a large mix of people too. But yes, it was predominantly, white, which was fine. It just kind of was what I expected, but there was still a large group of other people too. There was a large, I saw, Spanish American. I did see Black Americans. I saw all sorts of immigrants from, and they met from other countries, and the signs ranged from Black Lives Matter to Planned Parenthood to being, you know, I'm stay away from my vagina to, you know, I have a voice to, like, there was everything, you know, trans, pro-trans women, to just people, all these voices that needed to be seen, and their voices on the fringe of being stifled by this government, and voices that have been stifled, actually, to be honest. So that's what was out there when I got there. It was a pretty powerful sight, and I still felt so guarded in that, and that was... that was hard. I wanted to really try to lean in, but I still had all this, maybe it's hurt. I don't know what it was, you know, but I was just out there. At least I had my recorder and I can go talk to people, and I didn't have to feel anything because I was out there to do that. So I first approached, lovely African-American lady who was walking with her son. It's scary walking up to people when you have just your little recorder and your kind of cobbled together tools, just to feel taken seriously, and people don't like stare at you and like, why are you talking to me? Cause people are in the defensive too, but yada, yada. Anyway, so I walked up to her and, you know, I told her who I was and what I was trying to do. And so questions that I was asking is, why are you out here today? What prompted you to come out here today? For many women, I asked, how do we try to figure out a way to bridge this gap between races, especially within this country, between Black and white, especially within feminism? This is a big women's march, but there's a huge divide within races. And what do you want to leave? What do you want your child to know about you as a woman? And the final thing was, what are you going to do after this march? What's your action plan? So part of what she said, and the sad thing is I have to use my brain to recall some of this. But yes, I remember she was a single mom and she was a photographer. And, you know, she had a son who looked like he was about, you know, preteen. And she just was, you know, out there because she wanted to see the collective and what that collective looked like. And she wanted to add her voice to that collective voice. And she said she'd worked so hard all of her life, and she's doing well as an entrepreneur, and she just wanted to be able to be out there and feel all this energy, you know, and just be championed to continue moving forward. And she wanted her son to see that, and she wanted her son to feel like that feminine energy and that power. So that was really cool, or at least her answer was really great. And she said her action plan was just to really look out for other single moms and just making sure that they feel empowered to use their voice and do their own thing. So that's why she was out there. And as far as like bridging the gap for her, you know, it's hard because she's the black woman. She's not in a space. Well, she said she was not the one that needs to try to really be bridging. You know, I can't tell you how to feel about me. I know I'm still a woman, but, you know, in this country, once again, you're not always seen as a whole woman because purely because of your race. So that was her sentiment with that, which was great. And she walked away and she was super excited, but she's like, I'm going to stay positive. I want to be positive. This is a big thing. This is a big change and things can happen for us. We can collectively do this. So great lady. Next woman I walked up to, it was a white lady and she was, probably in her 30s and she had two young kids and she was out there with her husband and, you know, same questions, why are you out here? And she's just, you know, spoke about women's rights and, you know, just the fear of having her rights taken away from her. And, when we, you know, talked about like the racial divide and how to bridge that, you know, she didn't know how to answer that. And, you know, she honestly answered like, I don't know. She was a little taken aback by the question. And she honestly was like, I guess I don't know. You know, I'm just out here because I want my kids to see the power of women, but I don't know how to bridge that gap. So, you know, she was honest and lovely, and I was very thankful for her answers. So it's just as I walked through, I felt so calculated about who I was going to go up to next, but I tried to touch and reach out to as many different kinds of women as I could. And I didn't want to feel, like I was biased in who I was, trying to approach. Another woman I talked to wasn't another white lady who was there with her teenage kids, and she and her husband, I believe, was there too. And I asked her why she was there. She's a big proponent of social justice and she's in the movements and she is at as many marches as possible. And I believe she was, yeah, her family had like Black Lives Matter posters and, she was just like, we have to build the divide. We have to show up. That's what allyship looks like. And I am an ally, a true ally. My voice doesn't have to be louder. I just need to be here for support. And as a woman, yeah, I'm going to scream at the top of my lungs to show up for my girl. Because my daughter needs to see this. My son needs to see this and he needs to see our strength. And I want to make sure that they move forward and do the same thing. So her words were very, they moved me and gave me a little bit of hope and, moved on to another lady who was a Mexican American lady and she was there with five of her daughters. Well, she had five daughters and her mom. And she also was a big social justice, activist. And she's like the next generation because her mom was marched in the 60s and was an author and just really strong female voices, you know, and, she said, you know, I have, black and Mexican, mixed children, and other people within my family. So I'm all about black and brown and helping youth. And that's what she does in, as far as her job goes too. She teaches youth and empowers youth, to grow and do and be strong voices. And she was just really amazing. And I talked to her mom and her mom was really powerful too. And she's just like, yeah, I did this in the '60s. I hate that we're out here doing this still, but I'm all about empowering women and I'm all about, making sure we're all heard. And for me, it was important to be out here because we need to be a collective voice. We need to be doing this. So I guess showing up is really about trying to get us to do that. You know, I will show up when I can, where I can. And she was an author as well. So I was just so brilliant. I'm going to find her information. I'll make sure to put her, book in the notes. Just a really, really powerful lady. And the next, few ladies I had walked up to were Indian American women. No, not even, yeah, they were Indian American. Two older women, one of their husbands and, one of their daughters was there and she looked like she was probably about in her 20s. And, of the two older women. One was a little bit more, I don't want to say boisterous, but she was not as shy as the other. And she was just like, I'm here because I know I belong here. I want to make sure my voice is heard. I've worked hard to get here. I've worked very hard to get here. And our voice is important. Our voice is very important. And the other mama, too, she was just like, yes, our voice is very important. I believe she, was she a doctor? I think she was a doctor. Just a really cool lady who was just so, her energy was so peaceful. And she's just like, it's important for us to hear each other. It's important for us to acknowledge each other and to see each other. So I'm here to make sure that that's, you know, that we, those rights are kept. I'm a woman and I'm proud to be a woman. I'm from India and I've worked very hard to be in this country, and I want to make sure that those same reasons that brought me here stay in place. So just really cool and powerful testimony. So just to see her daughter too, just kind of look at her with pride, and her husband, it was probably too much of an intensive estrogen circle. He's kind of standing off to the side, but he's still smiling, not annoyed, just like, okay. But it was that just, it kept giving me a little bit more wind in my sail to hear these voices, you know. Another woman who she had, I asked her, she was a mom, and she's like, yes. And, you know, she's like, sorry, my English isn't great, you know. And I said, no, it's perfect. This is what America is, right? filled with immigrants. And another Mexican-American woman. And she's just like, I belong here. I want my child to be here. And, yes, I'm undocumented, but I've worked hard, you know. I do nothing wrong, and I show up in this world, and my daughter, I want her to see this. I want her to see how important it is for us to speak up and not be afraid to use our voices. And just really powerful, beautiful testimony. And as I walked through this crowd of people, I was inspired, and really, you know, I shouldn't say taken aback, but I was just really inspired by all these women that were out there and all these signs that were out there, you know. I try to speak to as many different kinds of moms that I could find just to make sure I touched upon everybody. But from immigrants to that have been here for years, to people that just got here, to moms that came here from the suburbs, to moms that lived south, east, west, I spoke to so many different kinds of women. The last woman I spoke to was from Burkina Faso. And she was just like, no, I came here 10 years ago, maybe a little bit longer. She said she became a citizen 10 years ago. I went to school here. I've learned so much from being here, and I was so motivated to be a part of this country. And I enjoy being in this country. I love where I come from, but I enjoy being in this country, and I enjoy being a part of this country. I know I make up what this country looks like, and my motivations and the work that I do is what this country stands for. And that's who I am. And for it to be threatened, for that work and my voice to be discounted is painful for me. And I don't want that to go away. It's important for us to speak our truth. And she had a great sign, which I'll put up, that covered just about everything that people are out there marching for, you know, and talking about and speaking to. So her voice was, I think, the last voice I just kind of needed to end on, you know. I just needed to hear that. You know, that's my mom's story. My mom came from Zimbabwe, and I remember the year she became a citizen, you know. It was like the early 90s, And I don't think I realized the gravity of that and how important it was. But I remember the joy in her face and the work that she'd done up until that moment to become the citizen. So to be in this time where who she is, as a woman of color, as a hardworking immigrant that traveled so far and worked so hard to be here, to live the quote unquote American dream, to hear that dashed and to hear that made into a fear of the powers that be, to be an enemy of the state, if you will. She's the American dream. You know, how is it possible that my mom's story and all these other stories are not part of the fabric that make up this country that's good? I guess I'm struggling with that. And I think that was my struggle being out there. I struggled with the fact that I felt so safe. Because at any protest, or gathering where there are predominantly black and brown bodies, it's not safe. And I felt so safe. There were kids and grandbabies and grandparents, and everybody was out there because it was safe, because it was a predominantly white function. And that's hurtful, you know? It's a privilege to be able to use your voice. It shouldn't be a privilege. It shouldn't be a it just should be. It should be a privilege for everyone is what I'm trying to say. It should be a privilege for all the Americans and all the bodies in this country that show up every day to live, you know? They live their lives right. They're not criminals. They're not trying to hurt people. They're just trying to live, whatever that looks like, you know, whatever skin they're in, whatever their body is, whatever they're feeling, whomever they love, they're just trying to live. And I think I hurt because I have a 16-year-old son, soon to be 17, who wants to just live, and I want him to just live, but he's a black young man in America, you know, he's public enemy number one. And that terrifies me, and it makes me angry because I want him to just be. I want him to just be able to have the privilege of being a teenager and making teenage mistakes and doing silly teenage things and the freedom of choosing wherever he wants to go to school, and not us sitting and milling about trying to figure out how safe the school will be. Is it welcoming to people of color? Is it not? What is the surroundings like? I mean, that's what it's like. That's what college is like for us. That's what trying to figure out what the next steps are for us is not about, what's the best choice as far as what he wants to do. It's what's the best choice as far as what he wants to do and what's safe. Crazy. It shouldn't be a privilege. The privilege is he's worked his butt off to get to this point. And because he's worked his butt off to get to this point, that's the privilege. You get to have that privilege because of the hard work you do. And that should be across the board in how this country approaches things. But it's not. So I think in the end, I know I'm rambling on, the upside of this whole crazy time that we're living in is that people are speaking truth, and people are less afraid to speak their truth, obviously. But now we need to speak those truths to each other, not yelling, but speaking and dealing with the facts, you know, dealing with a lot of what this country was built on, you know, a lot of race and hate and crazy. That's part of what this country was built on, and that needs to be acknowledged. So let's deal with it. Let's face that. Women are an important part of this world. We birth this world, you know. Everybody comes through a woman, period. There's no one that can say that they showed up differently. We've all come through women, and we need to acknowledge and honor women. And it's, yes, we're in difficult times where a woman's voice is being just shuttered and shut down. And we need to acknowledge the power of women. And I think, as mothers, let's be responsible about how we talk to our kids and the example we're showing for our children, because we nurture their voice, we nurture their thoughts, we nurture so much of who they are. So let's make conscious choices to nurture this next generation, to speak truth, and to make sure that truth is seeing people for who they are. It's not about colorblindness, because I want to see the different colors. I want to see different bodies. I want my son to experience that and see that and embrace cultures that are different, because that's what makes us amazing and cool and interesting, is our differences. And it shouldn't be something that's feared. So as mothers, let's stop teaching our babies how to fear everything that's different. It's important to teach them how to be open to what's different. Understand it. If it doesn't feel safe and good for you, that's fine. But don't knock it. Don't, you know, just go away from it. If it's not for you, then all right, cool, move on. But don't teach them how to fear and hate, but because there's so much of that that's out there now. And let's be responsible. It's just being able to see life. Just think about that time when you gave birth and you have this little innocent baby. They're all so sweet and lovely and innocent. How are you going to feed that? How did you wanted to protect that child and make sure you gave it everything good. It's not just about what you physically fed that child. It was about what you exposed them to. So your thoughts and your emotions and your history of hate or prejudices or racist ideologies or what have you, that's fed into them too. So it's time that we all check ourselves, you know, and realize truly how important our role is as the nurturers of the world, and our role is birthing the world. Let's own that and truly nurture our babies in this next generation to love and embrace the world around us. Okay, I think that's all I got to say. I've said a lot. Thank you for listening and tuning in. And I'm excited to share more amazing mothers this coming year, because I know so many brilliant women that come from so many different backgrounds that are mothers, that their kids are blessed to have them as their moms. So I want to share that and continue making sure that I build this podcast with women that are represent the tapestry that is this world. It's beautiful and different and dimensional and still filled with love, so much love. That's the main thing. That's the piece that strings it all together, is love. So live your life with love. Peace.